Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 87, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of March 3rd, 2014. I almost thought we were still in January for some reason. No, seriously, oh gosh.
You thought?
No, I was about to say it, but at the same time, I swear, it's like, we're in the third month of the year already. After this, it will have been, a quarter of the way through the year. And that's kind of terrifying, isn't it? But time, where does it go? We waste our lives doing things we don't want to do because we cannot survive unless we do them. And then when we realize that 3 years have passed, and then I want to go cry. Except I usually do that every night before I go to sleep, because it's the only way I can sleep.
We don't need to know that, sir.
Well, is this I need an adult moment for you?
I sleep with a smile on my face because I have nice dreams. They're never the dreams I want. They always end up being weird.
You've told me about your dreams, Mo, and for the sake of your online reputation, I will not elaborate on that.
And I clearly forgot what I just had this morning. Yesterday morning.
Ah, I do see. All right, sorry.
Can't do cars.
Man, I'm kind of wondering if whenever
and zombies.
I kind of wonder whenever I fiddle around with the gain button if people listening to the podcast can hear me messing around with that, in which case I apologize. I just need to make sure that you can.
I just hear like a little sound.
Like when I do that? Okay, how's my audio? Audio good. Excellent. I really should just stop looking at the at the audio levels there. It drives me crazy. All right, then. Let's go ahead and start off by talking about the news.
Okay.
We start off with the Japanese comic rankings from February 17th through the 23rd, starting in 10th place. Mo?
Dear Boys, Act 3, Volume 15.
9th place, Mashiro no Oto, Volume 10.
8th place, Shijo Shakyo no Deshi Kenichi. Oh, hey, Kenichi is my disciple. What's the actual title?
The official...
Kenichi the Strongest Disciple, there you go.
Yeah, or Kenichi History's Strongest Disciple is English title for the anime when it was brought out by Funimation. But, yeah, and it was like... Or there's also History's Strongest Disciple, Kenichi, and... if you translate it directly from Japanese, I guess it's History's Strongest... Wait, no. I guess it's like the strongest disciple of history, Kenichi, or something like that. I don't speak Japanese.
History's Strongest Disciple, Kenichi. I'm used to HSDK.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, sixth place. Sukite I Nayo, Say I Love You, Volume 12.
You missed 7th place.
All right. 7th place, flat, number 8. Mo, do number 5.
Number 6. Well, okay.
I already did number 6.
Hajime no Ippo, Volume 106.
Jeez. Noragami, Volume 10, is in 4th place.
As an anime, I believe. 3rd place, Hozuki no Retetsu, Volume 13.
And 2nd place, we have The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 7.
Nice. And 1st place, Terraformars, Volume 8.
Woo! Yeah, looking at some of these sales
because
numbers...
Because the anime's being announced, so it's like, yes, I'm going to start reading this. No.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think, you know, I can just imagine that around this, you know, looking at the numbers of sales, you just have all the publishing company execs that are kind of just sitting there, like, come on, One Piece. It's like, we need a new volume. We need a new yacht.
Then they're going down, so just like from 6th to 2nd place.
Yeah, they got a lot. Yeah, Kodansha has a lot going on there. That's pretty decent. Nothing from Shueisha, which kind of shows that, well, except number 11 is Shueisha, but yeah, that kind of really shows you kind of the, and 1st place is Shueisha as well, but but that kind of really shows you just how well Kodansha has been doing, you know, when you compare their, you know, the number. I mean, maybe they don't sell as much as One Piece, but they have more series making it into the top 10, it seems like. Although that's just based off of 1 week, so who knows.
Did the show Gagakon the Mag on there, like, guys?
Yeah,
guys? We're the only two here. Let's stay together.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the New York Times manga bestseller list for February 16th through the 22nd.
All right. In 10th place, Monster Musume Volume 1.
9th place, Toradora Volume 6.
Why do you always go at that series anyway?
I don't know. It's such a weird freaking series.
It's edgy, but it's not even close to, you know, beyond that. It's not even beyond that.
It's weird, okay? It's just the fact that something like that is, you know, apparently making it onto the bestseller list. I'm just like, no, manga is a serious and legitimate art form. Please ignore the series about the snake titties.
Well, I like mommies. Anyways,
freak.
8th place, Kamisama Kiss, Volume 14.
Did I even say what 9th place was?
He did, Ordoro.
Alright. 7th place, no matter how I look at it, it's you guys' fault I'm not popular. You know, that statement would work a lot better if you weren't 7th place on the New York Times manga bestseller list, honey.
6th place, Naruto Volume 64.
5th place, Judge Volume 3.
4th place, Attack on Titan Volume 11.
Woo! 3rd place, Attack on Titan Volume 1. I think I contributed to that stat.
2nd place, Bleach Volume 59.
I did not contribute to that stat. 1st place, Blood Lad Volume 4.
Oh, wow.
Indeed. Cool, cool.
I'm still reading that.
Alright, we've got the North American anime and manga releases for February 23rd through March 1st, starting with the anime releases. Alright. We have Appleseed 13, Tartarus and Uranus, DVD and DVD/Blu-ray.
Oh, probably Uranus. I keep saying Uranus.
I think I pronounced that Uranus, Uranus. You know, I'm not even sure anymore.
Uranus. I say Uranus. I don't know why. I just say Uranus. Because, you know, Uranus. Sorry, Uranus sounds like, you almost sounds like Uranus.
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind was and why it got pronounced like that. Alright, what else do we have?
Well, Uranus could probably change his name to Uranus one day, just to get that joke out of the way.
Yeah,
and then
pronounce,
like, what? No!
Okay. Yeah, pronounce it the German way. Uranus.
Okay, next. Last of Tempest DVD completes second season.
Sweet. Dalos or Dalos, DVD complete OVA series.
Okay. DG Sharrett, Winter Garden, DVD.
Interesting.
Whoa, get your ad out of the way, bro. I don't like you.
Ghost in the Shell, Arise, Blu-ray, Japanese Collector's Edition 2, and Blu-ray, Japanese Collector's Edition Bundle. Wait, what is a bundle?
I don't know. Wait, why is it only Volume 2 and not Volume 1 anymore? What the heck?
I don't know.
Maybe it came out some months ago.
Yeah, we've forgotten about it, probably. Alright, what else do we have?
Girls und Panzer. OVA's Blu-ray and DVD complete collection.
Really?
I gotta learn German. German sounds cool.
It is, indeed. okay, we've got K, DVD Complete Series and DVD Blu-ray Complete Series Limited Edition.
Kamisama Kiss DVD Blu-ray Complete Series Godless Edition. See, why don't they just put like that? Oh, it's got the price. That's right.
That is a hefty price. Alright, Lily CAT DVD.
Alright. Love Election and Chocolate. Blu-ray Complete Collection and DVD.
Okay. Somebody that is familiar with Japanese stereotypes or just Asian stereotypes in general made that title. Just imagine for a moment what that would sound like with the stereotypical racist Japanese/Chinese accent. Just imagine. I'm not going to say it. I really, really want to do it, but I don't want to have a recording of me doing a racist, stereotypical Japanese accent on the internet. Just do it in your head.
Actually, the second word would actually be very wrong.
That's the joke. Yes. Congratulations.
I want to save, I won't.
Don't, you fool. That's the last thing we need.
I won't say it. Okay.
But seriously, whoever titled this, whether it was on the Japanese side or the Sentai Filmworks side, they know what they are doing there. They know exactly what they are doing there.
Well, it doesn't say means adult, so it's okay. Anyways, next one.
Mighty
Space Miners, DVD.
Yes. I'm going to have to take a look at that. Star Blazers, $21.99, Blu-ray and DVD.
I stole yours. Oh, well.
No worries. All right. What else do we have? All right, let's start. Go ahead. Do the manga releases.
Deadlock, Volume 1.
Okay, Fairy Tale, Volume 35.
An Innocent Relationship, Volume 2.
Ha, 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 ha. And that is another Project H release.
You have to mention that.
Yes, I do. Insufficient Direction, Hideyako X Moyoko Anno. What is this, a shipping thing?
Wait, is this by Anno? As in that Anno?
Hideyaki Anno, as in, wait, where's this stupid staff? There we go. Yes, Evangelion.
Thought so.
Yeah. And then,
let's see. Got a beard then. Nice.
Yes, and then I guess he's married to manga artist Moyoko Anno.
Whoa, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and I must say, that is a very flattering picture of her that they have on Anime News Network. I can see why he married her. Although I'm pretty sure there were other reasons, lest this become a sexist statement about gender relationships, but...
Her hobbies.
Right. Anyway, where were we? Next one. You.
Parasite, Dr. Suzume, Volume 2.
It's another Project H.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're next.
Son of a bitch. See Me After Class, Volume 2.
As if you're a teacher. Anyways, Sweet Emotions.
Another one. The Incredible Kintaro. Not by Project H, but still a porno.
And another porno, Life in Short Shorts.
What the hell happened to the manga releases this week?
I don't know, but I gotta admit, he actually on the really scored there.
Sorry about that. All right, other releases. What else do we have? We have Castlevania Lord of Shadows 2 for the PlayStation 3.
Special Layton and the Azran Legacy for the Nintendo 3DS game.
Tales of Symphonia Chronicles for the PS3.
And Tales of Symphonia Special Edition for the PS3.
Good
God. Also, I actually have the original Tales of Symphonia game for the GameCube, and mine still works. I just haven't played it because I finished the game so long ago, and I'm like, I think I'm done. I got everything. But it'd be fun to replay, though. Sheena's the best.
I see.
I just wish I could learn how to summon things over whenever I want to, but probably you can only do that once you go into Overdrive or something. There's a different word for it. They use instead of Overdrive, I think.
Ah.
It's a game!
I see.
It is the game that actually started getting Tails recognized again.
I see.
You need to play. It's a JRPG.
Those are long.
It's more action-y than just turn-based. It's not turn-based, it's very action-y. Even the very first one is action-y. And they talk too. Anyways.
Yep. What else do we have?
Okay. New Eatman manga to start in monthly shonen series.
Okay.
So when I saw this title, I was like, I've seen One Punch Man, and I had no idea why I thought of that. But I still have no idea what this is about, except I don't think it's about some guy that eats people. I hope not. I think it's just a name.
Yeah, I've had enough manga about things eating people. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you're the one reading it, not me.
We're both reading it, you twit.
Well, I don't enjoy it as much as you do.
What are you talking about? You read it before me.
Yes, but then I stopped after a certain point, and then I got like a year or two later, and you were like, oh, okay, I'm going to get back into it again.
It's like, it's only advanced 12 chapters, what the hell?
Yeah, that's
cool. That's Curse of the Monthly series.
Okay, so Kodan, let's see. Kodansha's monthly shonen series manga announced in its next issue preview on Wednesday that manga creator Akihito Yoshitomi's Eatman manga will have a new series published in the magazine beginning on May 26th in the June issue. Oh.
Sounds interesting.
Sounds interesting indeed. The title news addition to the series will be announced in the April issue of Shonen Series, which is scheduled to be released in Japan on March 26th.
Sounds interesting.
I like the number 26. I was born on the 26th.
Sounds interesting.
I hate you. Anyways, moving on. Yes. Three Attack on Titan spin-off manga series get special chapters in series.
What, another one?
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I saw that there and I was like, oh, hey, segue. People that we talk about. I was like, yeah, us talking about people getting eaten. And somebody's like, oh, hey, how apropos.
Apropos, indeed. I like that word.
Indeed. Yes, it's French. Apropos.
Okay, I need to learn French again.
Yes, you need to learn a lot of languages.
And German.
Until you do, you are inferior to me.
Hey, my dad boasts about knowing lots of languages, and apparently he does, but
oh.
He doesn't know as much. He doesn't know as many words.
Ah, well.
But he does know French. He does know French.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Interesting. Where did he learn that? Actually, wait.
Sidetracked. Vietnam.
Okay.
But yeah, long story.
We're getting sidetracked. What else? Yeah. Tell us about this spin-off series. What's up with that?
Kodansha announced in the preview for the next issue of Kodansha's monthly shonen series magazine on Wednesday that Saki Nakagawa's Attack on Titan Demon High, Satoshi Shiki and Ryo Suzukaze's Attack on Titan Before the Fall, and Hikaru Suruga and Gan Tsunaku's Attack on Titan No Regrets. Manga will each receive a special chapter in shonen series May issue, which ships March 25th. Okay.
Indeed.
So, Before the Fall is a prequel, is based on author Ryu Suzukaze and artist Torres Shibamoto's prequel light novel series of the same name. This one basically takes place before the original manga, and it follows An Haru, a member of the Survey Corps who works in weapon development. And then this is the one
The one where the kid's mom gets eaten by a titan and then he gets born from the titan puke?
I think it's that one.
Okay. Yeah, I read a couple chapters. We haven't gotten to the part where they create the 3D maneuver gear.
I read only one chapter of that. And I was like,
what? You mean they aren't Spider-Maning around? Pfft, screw this. Is that what your reaction was?
Yeah, I know.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can, lose a leg, just like a spider does when a sadistic little kid pulls it off. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
Look out,
there goes a spider arm. boy.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Anyway, what else do we have? There's a lot of Kodansha news this week.
Oh, yeah, we do. Kodansha USA to publish Arslan manga by Fullmetal Alchemist Arakawa.
Okay, before you continue, I have to say, every time I hear the name Arslan, I swear, it sounds like a name that the White Queen had for Aslan. It's just like, oh, it's Arslan.
I was supposed to be called Arslan, but somehow they heard Aslan.
My name is my name is Aslan. Oh yeah, I was like, oh look, it's Aslan. It's like, stop that. It's like, I died for your sins. It essentially is what Aslan does. Anyway, carry on. What's this all about?
Let me describe this, because I never understood the story until I read it just now. As an unnaturally heavy mist descends on the battlefield, King Andrew Gores and his most valued officers confer upon among the bodies of dead and dying soldiers. When Daryun, a young but highly skilled officer, voices reluctance to send men into battle under these conditions, the king, unstable and enraged, banishes. Now Daryun's new mission is to ensure the safety of the king's only son, Prince Arslan. Daryun and Prince Arslan set off on a quest of their own, but they can't succeed alone. They must convince both the Lord Narsis and his companion, Archer Aelum, to join them in their quest to somehow help the soldiers win the war. Now a group of only six, they must somehow overcome an army of 300,000 soldiers. These unlikely soldiers have fate on their side, so anything can happen.
Interesting. So is this what she's doing instead of writing new chapters of Silver Spoon?
Apparently so.
No, I joke. I think this was done before. I don't know how it works, but anyway, interesting.
Well, let's see. The 13-volume novel series already inspired two anime films and earlier manga series by Kisato Nakamura and a 4-part original video anime from 1991 to 1990. I remember seeing that. That's old. I didn't even see it until like a few years after it came out, I guess.
Whoa. Indeed.
Double war. Okay, moving on. Shonen Sunday Family to launch 55 manga to mark 55th year, because Shonen Sunday are like, hey,
pay attention to us. We
have Gogo 13 and Detective Conan and his disciple Kenichi. And Hayate the Combat Butler and Zetai Karan Children.
Oh.
Seriously, guys.
I take it back. Okay, anyway. So, 55 new manga to commemorate their 55th year. Impressive.
Yeah. Indeed. I'm not going to be able to list them all, because not all of them are
there. No, that'd be silly, too. If they were, I would stop you. Like, no. All right, what else do we have?
18th Tezuka Osamu Cultural Prize Reader Award nominees announced.
Do we know any of them?
Okay, I recognize Ajin, although I never read it. Assassin's in Classroom, of course, by Yusei Matsui.
Sweet.
What else? Silver Spoon by Hiromu Arakawa. Cool. Never read Gogo 13, but of course everyone should know that one. I don't know what any of these are, but the last one I recognize because I saw it before. Like, in the rankings back then, and I'm like, oh, so it's about a guy who loves to ride his bicycle to buy anime and games so much, and then he ends up joining a competitive sport of bicycle racing. Like, oh.
Wait, which one is this?
Yowamushi Pedal.
Oh, I've seen that one on Crunchyroll. I haven't watched it, but I keep seeing it. I'm like, that looks interesting. It's a biking anime. So that's how he gets into it. Oh my gosh.
Suddenly, I am now in a competition.
I'll
beat Lance Armstrong.
I should start biking to work. Except it takes me 20 minutes to get there by car, so that's not happening.
I have a confession. What? I have never ridden a bicycle in my entire life.
Do you know how?
No.
Wow. That's...
I tried to when I was 5, and I gave up right then.
Oh, jeez. You see, that's why parents need to force their kids to learn how to ride a bike.
Yeah, by hand.
You deprived child.
Stuff, too. And look like a cool punk badass. Anyways.
Yeah, yes, because riding a bicycle will make you look like a punk badass.
Hey, I get the girls.
Bicycle.
I get the girls.
No, you don't. The word bicycle scares them away.
Skateboard. Anyways.
Yes, what else do we have?
Adds Kiss of the Rose Princess Honey Blood Shoujo Manga. I guess it's two series.
Oh, Kiss of the Rose Princess Honey Blood. Oh, gosh. Let me guess, The Princess Honeyblood is one about vampires, isn't it? Tell me I'm right. Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, I'm good.
And the other one is, guess what that one's about?
Kiss of the Rose. Honestly, this one I don't think I'm going to guess because my mind keeps going to Rose of Versailles.
No.
Which I don't think that's it. Speaking of which, isn't that on Hulu somewhere?
Okay.
Sorry, yeah. Kiss of the Rose. It's a supernatural romance with a flower fairy.
Okay, I guess that works.
No, it doesn't. Tell me what it actually is.
Okay. Anise Yamamoto has been told that if she ever removes the rose trophy given to her by her father, child punishment will befall her. Unfortunately, she loses that trophy when a bat like being named Ninufa falls from the sky and hits her.
Interesting.
Well, I guess that's a normal everyday thing in manga. Ninufa gives Anise given four cards representing four knights whom she can summon with a kiss. And now that she has these gorgeous men at her beck and call, what exactly is her quest?
Interesting.
To get her choker back, I guess. Or her dad finds out. And
yeah, what is it with shoujo manga and always having a question in the plot summary? Like, it's always... Mitsuku has met this annoying new guy but he's really a hottie. What will she do? It was like, how will her new high school life be? Or something like that. There's always a question in it. Like, it's like, really?
Somehow.
Are you actually saying this because you think we can't figure it out? Do you really want an answer?
The funny thing is, now that you mention, when I read this now, I hear a dun 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 at the end. Which makes no sense anymore.
No, that makes absolutely no sense. I don't know of much of anything that happened in a shoujo manga that required a legitimate dun-dun-dun. I mean, sure, plenty of times where it should be used ironically, but... Anyway, where were we?
Latest fairy tale anime visual coming by Event News.
Yes, because we totally want to talk about the news that relies on showing off pictures.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Except every time I say that, I'm always reminded that everything we talk about relies on pictures here. So, anyway, go to Crunchyroll. They have some new pictures from Fairy Tail, as well as a few new sketches, none of which are of the girls, so you may ignore this batch.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, yeah, there's event news. That's actually important.
Yeah, you mention that since you're more a Fairy Tail buff than I am.
Indeed. Let's see. Last week, the site for the new Fairy Tales concluded its cycle of weekly previews and promised big news for this week's update. What was announced at Dragon King Festival 2014, a March 30th event featuring manga author Hiro Mashima and cast members Tetsuyaka Kakihara, Rie Kugumiya, and Sayaka Ohara in a talk show preceding an advanced screening of the anime. Interesting. So they're showing the anime off. I kind of have to wonder if Crunchyroll will be showing it.
Maybe, maybe not. Anyways, next one.
Yes, next one.
Evangelion spin-off manga planned for April. Now, I know what you're all thinking. They're making another one?
No kidding. Yeah, what's this one about exactly? Please don't tell me it's another one. They're in high school, and there are no Evas, and everyone is actually not awful.
Well, the tagline is, the stage is Eva times game department. Look out for this unique combination. What, I think card games or Gundam?
What?
Toys. Like that one with the Gundam.
Huh. I have
no idea. You know, where they build Gundams and they have them fight each other?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You sadly have no idea.
No, I don't. Remember the part where I mentioned I didn't play games as a kid?
You don't have to play games to understand giant robots. Yeah. Neon Genesis got you into giant robots, and Demon Gear got giant
robots. Yeah, honestly, not really. I only have a couple giant robot series that I like.
Well, both of us never even saw Gundam much. I mean, I guess
I watched the first couple episodes of that, but of the original series, but I got bored. Well, actually, that's not true. I saw it on Toonami when I was visiting my grandma, and then we went back home, and I was like, great, no Toonami in Germany.
Yeah, I know that feeling when I went to visit my relatives in Kansas. It's like, oh, look, Toonami and Cartoon Network, yay, and then go back home. I was watching a Detective Conan episode. I just wanted to know what happened next. I never knew what happened next. Anyways, so this makes how many spin-offs did they get? Oh my goodness, a lot of spin-offs.
They have a lot of spin-offs. Yes, yes, they do.
Holy crap! I didn't even know this.
Yeah. Well, I still have no idea what this is one's gonna be about, but I imagine it'll be silly.
Yeah, I have an idea. They're gonna probably build giant robots, like build miniature giant robots and have them fight each other.
Yeah, that would actually be kind of amusing, sort of like a Beyblade kind of thing.
Like, oh my god, what's your Ava doing to my Ava? It's eating it. It's eating it! That's exactly what it's doing! Tell your Ava, stop eating my Ava! I don't think it's gonna listen to me. Oh, Shindy. Indeed.
Okay. All right, what else? Last bit of news, what do we got?
This one's very interesting. Kadokawa's Comic Walker app will offer manga in English.
Ooh.
40 translated titles available at launch for PC smartphone app on March 22nd. Mark your calendars, folks.
Interesting. Where will it be available?
Okay. Japanese publisher Kadokawa announced on Monday that its upcoming web comic service Comic Walker will launch on March 22nd with manga in Japanese, English, and traditional Chinese. The service will be available on smartphones and PCs and will feature approximately 200 different works for free. When the service first launches, it will include 40 translated works, and Kadokawa will continue to add more titles as time goes on. The publisher is also working to translate the app's menu. The service will feature 150 past and present works, including K. Sande's Boku Dake ga Inai Machi. Why does that sound familiar? Ato's Nonon Diori, Eishi Ozeki's Nobunaga the Fool, Mina Yoshizaki's Sergeant Frog.
Ooh. Wait, Sergeant Frog?
Yes.
Okay, is a crucial question.
And let me finish. And Takuma Morishige's Tonari no Sekikun manga.
Oh. Alright, crucial question. Must one pay for this service?
Well, of course.
Okay.
It says they will feature approximately 200 different works for free.
Wait, how many different works?
200.
That's impressive. And
we don't know if they're the ones we know or the ones we don't know. Yeah. It's a mix.
Yeah, I just kind of have to look. Let's see. Kadokawa. What do we have?
Oh, wow. I actually see some series I recognize.
Kadokawa Shoten. Let's see. What do we have here? History subsidiaries. Magazine published. Oh, dot hack.
Okay.
Oh, they're the ones that do new type. Okay.
Yes, let me finish. The service will also feature around 50 original titles, and Kadokawa plans to release the original titles in collective book form under a new label. Past titles will include Yoshiyuki Sadamoto's Neon Genesis Evangelion.
I already paid money for that.
Hazu Yasuhiko's Gundam The Origin manga, and Kadokawa will release both titles on Comic Walker in a full color version.
I'm going to have to keep an eye open for this.
Okay, this is the interesting one. Users will be able to create their own magazines to follow the manga they want to read, and the app will also suggest other series based on users' history.
Ooh, I like.
Kadokawa also noted that it will host a contest for a Comic Walker Rookie Award and a Kanto. Oh wait, is that German? Kanto?
Let me pull it up. I didn't have the news open. Let me see. Where is the name?
At the very bottom? Yeah.
That's not German.
Okay. And a Kanko Comic Illustration Award with the service. Hideaki Kobayashi will serve as Comic Walker's executive manager. So, okay, the part where users will be free to own magazines to follow the manga they want to read, that is something I believe that Shueisha and Kodansha should actually try and do. And also someday, Shogakukan too.
Yeah, well, the thing is with...
But then the problem is that they did that in series like, you know...
Yeah.
Those unknown series wouldn't get as much popularity, and then they just drop off the face of the
movie. Yeah, the thing with... Viz manga
so it should
did
be done
now,
with it, finished series.
Yeah, it wouldn't... I don't think it would work as well if Viz did it now, just because they're... You know, they don't quite have enough series for that right now, but it's an interesting thought, definitely. It'll be interesting to try
to sort of backfire.
Explore that. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I'm curious, at least. Mm. So it would be worth examining, I must say. All right. So was that it for the news? Did we have anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, awesome. In that case, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment. Alright, it's time for the manga review, and this week we continue what I like to call What's New, with the brand new release of Fairy Tail Volume 35, and this one is the direct continuation, of course, of the fight between Lucy and Minerva, which ended poorly for Lucy. As we see, she is pretty badly bruised and beaten, as she is tossed outside the ring, and Fairy Tail doesn't get into a fight with Sabretooth, but they make it very clear that Sabretooth will regret what they did. And the tournament continues onward as we go into, yeah, the next round, the next event being the direct combat, you know? And so we kind of go through a couple fights. I think one that's worth pointing out is that we finally discover the identity of the man in the bunny outfit. And it turns out it is Nichia, the Exceed version of Ichia. And, this was too perfect. It was just so stupid. I loved it. And, yeah, seeing both of them together, I love the reaction from, like, his fellow Blue Pegasus members. They're just like, oh, gosh. And, of course, Urza starts to faint because she's like, two of them. No!
Yeah. And one's a cat.
Yeah, and sadly, they turns out that Nichia is actually really weak, so he's beaten up real quick. But then turns out that Ichia actually has a... Gosh, this fight is just, Turns out he actually is really powerful in that he beats Bacchus and, what's his face that he, you know, was with him?
Bacchus and, I guess, it was Rocker?
I guess, I'm not sure, I don't know. It's not like they matter.
Yeah, it's not like they matter.
Yeah, and then we get several more fights. It's, yeah, the thing to keep in mind is that it's team fights. And it's all kind of setting up for Natsu and Gajio versus Rogue and Sting, the two Dragon Slayers. And they basically, yeah, at the beginning of the fight, it's also worth pointing out that we see, that we get to see the Igneo again for a little bit, where he is on the move, or he says the time for us to move is near. The Dragon King Festival will soon be upon us. So we have to wonder, what is this that Mashima is setting up? Mm. And, yeah, so a good chunk of the volume is focused on the fight, and it kind of goes the typical route of, oh no, these two enemies are more powerful. Natsu and Gajio are going to get their butts kicked. But then it turns out, no, they aren't. They're actually way more powerful, you know?
Like 3 months and 3 days?
Yeah. It's like they show off their, they show off their skills. But then it turns out that, you know, Natsu and Gajio completely outmatch them somehow, but then so Rogue and Sting decide, you know what? We're gonna power up and use our dragon force, which does, again, then we do some more of the, they are more powerful. And, yeah, for a little bit, Natsu and Gijio seem to be having some trouble, but then it turns out that, of course, even though it looks like they're about to be defeated, they get up and they're like, oh man, that hurt. Like, you're better than I figured. And, yeah, they're just not hurt at all. But now they know all the tells and they're able to fight them. One on two, actually, because Natsu gets rid of Gijio by throwing him onto a cart.
Like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, no, I was like, wait, what?
Ride the mine cart. Got to deal with weakness.
Yeah. And, yeah. So they fight. Natsu takes them on one-on-one. And, yeah, he pretty beats them pretty easily. It's ultimately. And then, yeah, we kind of got the end of the, I think that's about the end of the tournament. Everyone, now that Natsu has defeated the two strongest members of the currently strongest guild, everyone's decided, you know what? We need to make sure that we beat Fairy Tail, because they're a lot more, they're the ones to beat now. And we've got the cat, Slector, who's always like, oh no! It's like, Rogue, or whichever one.
Sting.
He lost, I'm so sad. It's like, I don't care. Like, I don't care, you stupid cat.
It was really stupid. His reason was like, oh, you know, they made fun. They see somewhere in the past before after Lecter and Sting met.
Yeah, that's
like that was bullied by some kids saying, oh yeah, Sting can beat a dragon or whatever. And like, oh yeah, well Sting can. And then all of a sudden Sting starts cheering by saying, don't worry, I'll beat a salamander for you. I'm like, really?
That's it.
Yeah, that was the motivation.
That's so stupid. That was just so stupid. And, you know, and just to just kind of wrap up the main story, we also get Gijio discovers that there's a dragon graveyard underneath the city, and there's,
oh yeah, that's, you know, gonna get
fun. Things are moving. We get to see that there is a, you know, that there's a message from the future by Levy of the future, I guess.
That was weird.
Who, yeah, mentions like, oh, even, yeah. Yeah, that's really, it's really funny the way they kind of do it, where it's like, Blank died too, and Blank, and even my beloved Blank. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Beloved what? I'm like, okay.
No, I think we know who that's meant to be, but yeah, it's kind of weird where it's like you got Levy with, she's got like scars all over her face and is writing down what happened, except leaving out the crucial plot points. And then, yeah, we discover.
Weird. What's weird is that Arcadia's guy being all like, there. I'm like.
Yeah, it turns out he's not a bad guy, I guess. He's actually trying to save the world. It's weird. And then we discover that Jalal discovers. Well, yeah, but we find out that he's trying to save the world in this, but it is kind of like, wait, is he actually doing the right thing still? But yeah. But we also have Jalal. We end the chapter. The story part of this volume with Jalal discovering that the identity of the strange hooded figure. And yeah, and then we'll talk about the two extra chapters after this. But okay, so for the story parts of this volume, because it kind of ends with a to be continued because there was a bit of a break in between the next 2 weeks or so when this was being released. And yeah, so let's talk about the story aspects of this volume.
I did not enjoy it was decent, the Natsun idea versus Sting. Yeah. It was decent, but it wasn't like...
Yeah,
it's like, Majima, he was trying to build it to be something great, but then it just felt like the same old thing was just over and over. Like, yeah, friendship will win, you know?
Yeah, I think that's...
And then Sting's reason to fight for Lecter was just the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, that was really dumb. And that kind of really, I mean, the thing was that the fight
Let me finish. Okay. Well, even if Lecter wasn't a cat,
Yeah.
It still would be stupid. I'm not hating on Lecter because he's cat. I'm hating on Lecter because his reason is stupid.
That seems like kind of something that doesn't even need to be mentioned. It's who cares if it's a cat? But no, as I was saying, it feels like the fight was a big disappointment in that it was the same thing we've seen in this series do before, which on the one hand, you know, there is a bit of a comfort zone to have, you know, to go with the same thing over and over. But then again, it was still really disappointing in that it just didn't feel, there was no real good reason why Natsu won. You didn't feel like he struggled enough to win. It's even, you know, even when he was being beaten down really, really hard, it still didn't feel like he was actually had to fight that hard to do so. And then the fact that the motivation between Sting wanting to fight Natsu is stupid kind of adds another nail in the coffin there. So, yeah, it was not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but then again, it wasn't good. And that's not okay.
So is this a rare case where Majima didn't do so good or so bad, it just ends up being the middle, luckily?
A bit, yeah. I mean, it's just, it definitely feels like he, as usual, I mean, especially with his, he's kind of had this problem for a while, but it's become more pronounced recently, in that he doesn't do climaxes very well. He does really good build-up, but then he always resorts back to the tried and true, but not so true anymore, methods of resolving the conflict. I mean, for example,
Naruto still sells pretty good, so it works.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be fair. Not everyone that contributes to those sales numbers is going to think about the story as hard as reviewers do. It's just, I mean, we can kind of see a little bit of what I was talking about in the current arc, where it had some really great build-up, and it was just, oh my gosh, this is all awful. What is, you know, what's going to happen to the characters? But then, oh, Natsu and Lisanna got free. Mira Jane is completely out of harm's way, which I was kind of thinking, you know what, I called it anyway. Mm-hmm. What else was it going to do? And then Natsu and Lisanna freed Erzo, who now that she is fighting one-on-one is going to take on, you know, the demons and everything. So it's kind of like, feels like, oh, hey, look, everything that was an issue has been resolved really quickly. And in that case, for the most recent chapters, I find it, you know, it's still working for me. But it is, yeah, but that is kind of an overarching problem that Mashima has with his writing, is that he just doesn't know how to resolve plots in a way that feels fully satisfying, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what this feels like. It's an anti-climax. It's a letdown.
I wonder, though, has it been around before Fairy Tail? Has it been around even since Rave Master, I wonder?
Since I didn't read that series, we need to get into that one sometime. But since I didn't read that one, it's kind of hard for me to say.
You ought to. I still like it a lot better than Fairy Tail, personally.
Okay.
Fairy Tail feels so, how dare I say, generic at times.
Yeah. It.
But Majima really tries hard to make sure it's not generic. And that I can give him some credit for.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a safe series, well, except for recently, where it's like, dude, so much fan service. Why?
Magazine.
Yeah, but still, it's really hard to say because, I mean, I still like this series. It's just, I don't know. I would have to say, if I compare it to other series that I really liked at the beginning and I feel dropped the ball, I wouldn't compare it to Naruto, most certainly, because Naruto has actively earned my hatred. In a lot of cases, it's a little closer to Bleach, but not as much, where Bleach just disappoints me at times, where it has things that will happen, and it can still do good things, but it's in general, when I read it, I just feel disappointed because I remember this used to be really good. I don't think Fairy Tail was ever as good as Bleach. If you compare the best of Fairy Tail to the best of Bleach, I still think Bleach comes out on top. However, I'm going to say that the worst of Bleach is worse than the worst of Fairy Tail. Fairy Tail kind of manages to be in the middle range there, where it was still really good, but not quite as good as Bleach was at its peak. And when it's bad, it can be pretty bad, but still not as disappointingly so as Bleach has been the past couple years.
Here's how I would describe Fairy Tale to me. Fairy Tale is just an enjoyable read. Just read it and don't think too hard about it. For reviewers, I can understand it's a pain in the neck to like go and what the heck is this? Like, kind of like I'm watching Adventure Time. You just enjoy it. Don't think too much about it. Well, that's how I do. That's how I do everything.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry, that's kind of, unfortunately, that's kind of not our job to just read it and enjoy it. We have to think about it. And when we think about it too much, there are some problems that pop up. Though I will say that the opening of the volume did really well, because not only just because it's continuing on from the previous volume, but just it does it in a way that makes me want to keep reading. And it managed to keep my interest for the Ichiya, Nichiya, Bakus, and that other guy fight, which granted it does seem a little weird that Bakus, who was said to be equal with Urza, is losing so easily. Because I'm just like, yeah, equal to Urza, you mean wins no matter how much we call hacks. Well, it doesn't seem equal to her, but it seems like he's getting defeated very easily. You know?
Well, he was equal to her.
Well, it's implied that he's better now.
7 year time skip and all.
But I know, but it's still implied that he's better.
Isn't Ichiya in the S rank in the Blue Pegasus?
Pretty much. He is a very highly ranked character, but so much of him is spent being goofy that it feels, you know, weird for him to actually win.
Well, it kind of makes sense why Hibiki, Ren, and Eve actually respect him so much.
Still, it is kind of weird.
You know, he's using the whole
it was just the reveal that it was actually funny, the reveal that Nichiya was back. And, I mean, it came out completely pointless because he wasn't actually strong, but, you know, it was there as a gag, and I enjoyed the gag. So, all right, let's talk about the last two chapters. So, the first one is chapter 298, Exciting Ryuzetsu Land. And we don't have to talk about the plot because that would be stupid. It's a filler chapter that basically at the time we thought was the pinnacle of fan service for this series. Turns out we were wrong.
We were very wrong. There's way more.
But, yeah, I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about how, oh, there's so much fan service. You get to see all the tits and all the ass. Some of them bare sometimes. But, well.
And then we see something up in the ass. You'll see.
yes, indeed. But, yeah, it is definitely one of those chapters where you can focus just on the fact that there's a lot of fan service, which, honestly, all that needs to be said is there's a lot of fan service. But there are some key moments that I feel worth mentioning. Mm-hmm. One is, let's see, one is that we get the continuing saga, epic, you know, the continuing saga of the epic love that is Elfman and Evergreen, who just randomly in the background are constantly, for some, finding reasons to stay close to each other while at the same time denying that they are doomed to fall in love.
As it's also funny how Frieden and Bixler were like in the same panel, and I'm like,
that was kind of funny, where the two are just arguing and they're just like, crap, I don't want, it's like, I'll die before I let anyone else see us. And then it's like, if we're found out, you'll regret it. It's like, this was your idea. And he's like, I was just suggesting a change of pace. Don't go reading into it. And of course, the readers go and read into it. And then, of course, we've got Freed and Bixlow that are reading into it, as you might say. And there's the continuing antics of Gray, Juvia, and
Leon.
There we go. Yeah. And then there's the continued fan service antics of Jenny and Mira as they try to humiliate the other more. Jenny by stealing Mira's top, and Mira by pulling down her bottom. Yeah.
Nice ass. That
quiet.
Ass.
Quiet, you. Quiet, you. And, yeah, and then we find out that... Oh, yeah, one other important note is that... turns out that Flair came to apologize to Lucy for beating her up. And afterwards, I can just imagine Lucy's like, oh, well, you only beat me up. You're only the second... No, how am I supposed to say that? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, well, you only beat me up half as bad as... What's-her-face Minerva did. Yep. And then we kind of... And then from there, it's antics. We've got... we got some shipping stuff with... Jalal and Urza, you got some shipping. Yes, that. You've got some shipping between Gray and Leon as they go down the slide of love. And I love Juvia's like, is this that the BL that Juvia keeps hearing about?
No.
Probably yes. Mm. And then Natsu destroys the place.
Yep.
And of course, the repair bill gets sent to Fairy Tail. And it is amusing.
Okay, so, wait. The page where it shows Natsu having destroyed the place was very interesting. You look around, you see a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
So you see, and then one of them has Max and a broom up his butt. And I'm like, okay, that's Kanan.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that happens all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, every time they're all laying there destroyed, there's Max with a broom up his butt.
Why is a broom up his butt?
I don't know, but...
Magic is sand. That makes no sense.
Well, at least he probably sands it before putting it in there, so probably doesn't hurt as much. But, it's... You're going to see some amusing carnage here and there, if you care to look enough. Let's see. That is that. So, that's chapter 298. It's a bit silly. And then we get chapter 299, Lone Journey, which I really like this chapter because it's a silent chapter, and I love when comics do that. Mm-hmm. You know, because at least it shows that Mashima is good enough to be able to tell a story without dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, and the basic rundown is... sorry, throat getting a little dry. Okay, what's his face? Shanks. What?
Gildard.
Oh, right.
Hey,
I think it was Shanks?
I'm dropping that.
So he goes and he's doing his thing. He saves a girl from some monsters. I guess she's terrified of the fact that he scares the monsters and she runs away, or maybe she senses that he is a complete horn dog, basically.
I bet it's their women's intuition.
Yep. And they goes to a village, she recognizes him, apologizes for running away. Everyone thanks him for saving her, and then they tell him about a monster, and he's like, oh no, there's a monster, and he's like, I beat it. Then he beats it. Then everyone is happy, and they're all celebrating, and then Gildart, looks like he's about to score. But then he sees that Kana is on... the Lakrima vision competing, and he sees her
he has a father moment.
Yeah, and he's going
all... That's my girl.
He's going all crazy. He's like, woo, yeah, woo. And then he trips and he destroys the village. He trips and he just shatters the earth. And everyone's terrified and kicks him out. And he's just like, whatever, and keeps walking.
It's actually funny how the previous chapter Natsu destroyed the park just by, I don't know what he did, but Gildas destroyed the town just by tripping.
yeah, it was pretty silly. I have to say that between the two extra chapters, I think it's probably pretty easy to tell which one is the good one. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just saying. Honestly, would I enjoy it as much if it had dialogue? Probably not. The story is pretty basic for a fairy tale, but I do find that it is, it just adds an extra level of interest when it's done without dialogue. Because, stories, comics, manga are meant to be a visual medium, and if a creator can't even tell a story without dialogue, then, well, they're not as good as they perhaps want to be. And I mean, not to say that this means, everything that Mashima has done in the past is forgiven, all the bad stuff, because he can do this one chapter. No, it's just showing that, he has the potential, he just needs to work on his, long-form storytelling. He's good on in smaller chunks, but the longer it gets, the more you kind of start to realize, wait a minute. And especially the more build-up you get. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we find in this volume, like the fight between Natsu and the two twin dragons, very much feels like this would be fine if we had maybe half or a quarter of the build-up that we did. Where it just, with as much build-up as we've had, we would have expected something more from it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, overall, I think this volume, I like the beginning, the very beginning, I like the very end. The stuff in the middle, I can take it or leave it. I mean, the fight, the majority of it is the fight between Natsu and those guys, and it's kind of disappointing. The fan service chapter, let's just say, for the sake of my dignity, no comment.
No comment. I say it's amusing.
Yeah, well, yes, it's amusing, but it's also kind of weird because there's a lot of comic book boobs. But then again, that's comic books and manga in general for you. Yeah, so I would have to say I think I enjoyed this one. Well, I don't know. It's actually been way long since the last one that we talked about,
But I like this one a little bit. A little bit better than the previous volume. Because the previous volume had Minerva being...
Oh, yeah.
Beat by TCH.
Yeah, it is kind of hard for me to be certain because, it was weird because 34 was released at the beginning of January, 35 was released at the end of February. I'm just, wait, why did you do that? Now there's double the time between these volumes. I don't remember what happened. Fortunately, between this one and the next one, it is 1 month exactly, which will make things a lot easier for us to remember. So, yeah. So that one, yeah, you can expect the next volume of Fairy Tail on the 25th of March. And, I shall possibly have to pre-order it. And get Amazon if you can get 23% off if you pre-order it.
Take on this volume is your mileage may vary in the middle, but the beginning was pretty good. Yeah. But I think the middle actually did a good job because of how it left off with the whole Minerva and Fairy Tail going, okay, we're gonna take you down, and that was the build that Masumo was trying to go for. And while it didn't come as strong as well as he probably wished it did, in some ways he kept the same form. He did what he was good at. And
It's just a shame that we get bored of it after a while. I'm gonna have to agree with Mo on this one. Just in general, it was okay, but not the best the series has produced. And I think it would be expecting a bit much to expect the best from this series at this stage. Just in general. It's kind of like, you'll get like a good chapter or two followed by some not so great chapters followed by a resolution that is, not the best.
Yeah, you are right. Mashima does have trouble with climaxes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that has something to do with why it draws so much fan service. Hi-oh!
Oh, oh boy.
Yes. Alright.
I twitch.
Yes, yes indeed. Alright, this would be the point where we carry on and start talking about One Piece Volumes 13, 14, and 15. Unfortunately, a scheduling conflict came over.
Yeah.
That suddenly Mo decided to go follow the straight and narrow path and pay for the manga that he reads. Nah, I'm just joking. But seriously, yeah, there was a bit of a... Yeah, let's just say
issue. There was timing, there was many, many outside disturbances.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of hard to talk about a manga if one of us doesn't own the specific volumes in question. So, we're going to have to do something about that. We won't be going over One Piece this week, unfortunately. We're going to try to get back to it next week. Next week, for certain, we'll be talking about the first two volumes of Nisekoi. And then we'll see what we can do with One Piece that week or the week following, depending on how things happen to fall. All right, but for now, I think it's time for us to move on to the next segment. Don't you, Mo?
Yes.
It's time for the manga commentary for the week, starting with Weekly Shonen Jump, and unfortunately this week starting with Seraph of the End.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
This was an amusing chapter.
Yeah. Still, this was... I swear, every time they put Seraph in the magazine, I swear they always put it as the first chapter, and it's always a week where I decide, I'll read these later. Even though I know One Piece goodness is waiting for me, I'm still, I have to get through Seraph. I don't wanna.
Yeah, well, I read the chapter for a week, and then I was like, okay, I need to do something else. Took a break, and then when I thought stuff to me, I was like,
yes.
Yeah, that's a problem right there.
Yeah.
You had trouble with Seraph, and I had trouble with Self Symphony.
Yeah, that's interesting change. But yeah, I do kind of like the beginning. I mean, ignoring the stuff where it's like, oh, remember how when these guys were kids? I'm like, yeah, I was like, it was like 11 chapters ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did think that the fight scenes were quite excellent. And they, you know, just in general, you had kind of the way the fights were portrayed were really nice. Although when, what's her face?
Shinoa.
Yeah. I really hate every time she opens her mouth. It's just how bad at thinking of jokes can someone be that they think that this character is entertaining? I mean, seriously, I
like her.
I don't understand how you or anyone could like the character because it's just the worst. This is their idea of a joke. It's like, you'll be useless on the front lines, completely useless as a turd laying forgotten on the ground. Ha,
yeah,
ha,
I didn't get that one. And I saw that when you told me about it, and I was like, this doesn't.
Yeah, and then immediately after that, aha, ha. Anyway, all joking aside, I was just thinking, that was a joke. Forgive me for not noticing. But ignoring that, she basically explains how, hey, you should take these pills. They will
pop. Pills here! Sorry, I wanted to
do that. Son of a bitch. Anyway, they have pills that help them become stronger. And if they take one, they become however much stronger. If they,
it's kind of similar to the Rumble Ball.
A bit, yeah. Except that in this case, rather than going crazy, it has them, if they take more, two or more, they'll die. And I do kind of like the way they portray it as, yeah, this isn't exactly seen as a, oh, this is a power up with no consequences, or yeah, this is a cool power up that we have. It's like more like this seems a little fishy. And so it's not like they're all, oh yeah, this is totally cool. But
clearly they're using drugs to get stronger.
Pretty much. And I'm
like, really?
Yeah, isn't this series just so great with the messages and the... Yeah.
Bugs have always been used to, you know, help me out in situations. Left 4 Dead, Monster Hunter,
Yeah, except here it's straight up, they're straight up steroids, not painkillers or anything like this.
Good point.
It's weird. But
well, Monster Hunter for steroids anyway, yeah.
Yeah, well, I haven't played that one, but I'm going to say that's also not good. I'm just
hey,
saying.
They're playing monsters, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to have some kind of power-up, maybe don't make it look exactly like something that exists in the real world. You
well,
know,
that's,
don't give kids ideas.
This is a contemporary world. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. But anyway, the fight between Gurren and the vampires is pretty good. I like the way they show that, hey, even these elite vampire killers, yeah, they're kind of at a disadvantage, except for the part where they lay a trap that somehow doesn't work. And then Gurren gets stabbity stabbed.
And then stabbity stab gets stabbed by stabbity stabbity stab. And then I'm probably thinking that stabbity 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 stab will get stabbed by stabbity 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 stab.
Indeed.
All aboard the stab train.
Yeah, Gurren looks pretty badly injured, and then it turns out that what's his face? Kills Mika. What's his face? Or yeah. We end up with the page ending with you stabbing the vampire that he did not realize is his friend.
Well, who? But yeah.
And I'm kind
so
of
basically Mika stabs Gurren, and then Yuito stabs Mika, and I'm thinking that Yuito probably gets stabbed by.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking. Okay, here's two options. The one that I would like it to go is if Mika is actually dead. You know, where it's like he dies and then you has to deal with the fact that he killed his best friend. And so you just kind of have to think about that. And I was like, oh, that'd be a very interesting direction for the story to go. And that'd be unique and engaging. But what's probably actually, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. That's what I want to happen. But what's probably actually going to happen is Mika ends up, you know, just his instincts take over. He drinks Yu's blood and becomes a full vampire and then becomes a proper antagonist. Is what I think will probably happen, which has been done. But still, that was a pretty good ending to this chapter. I liked it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It had less annoying crap than the other chapters. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to
Delph Symphony, Chapter 2, About That Man's Invisibility, Part 2.
Yep, your turn.
Okay, so they find out, you know, pretty much, Choma says, yeah, I'm an invisible dragon and such. And, the Jacking guy, he's like, wait, he's a dragon? Oh, that's not good. They didn't say anything about this. But then he still tries to kill Jig. But then, oh man, I forgot what happened in this chapter.
Oh, good wish. Well, the assassin gets incapacitated by the leader of the Assassin's Guild, who kind of seems to be an okay kind of guy. He's like,
yeah,
hey,
like,
you're kicked out because you were about to go outside of your contract, basically.
You're about to harm other people.
Yeah. And then they're saying, hey, we want my guild wants your special thing. And then the VNV team shows up to defend him because they're, hey, we want it too. And
it's that Mohawk Goblin dude.
Yeah.
The president.
We get to find out that the president of that company is a goblin, basically.
That's awesome.
And I'm just like, dude, this is such a cool design. And then, what's his face, main character, realizes.
Choma.
No, not him.
Oh, he's a protagonist. No, okay.
No, the main character, you know.
But he's actually the main character. They keep saying he's the main character.
Yeah, no.
I know. I get confused. Okay, Jake.
You know which one the main character is. And, of course, manga is bad at that sometimes where they say, hey, look, this is the main character. Actually, just kidding. He's just here to introduce the story. Here's the actual main character. I'm like, son of a bitch, will you make up your mind? But anyway, yeah, he ends up joining ends up joining the team guild thingy.
He ends up joining VNB.
Yeah.
Virtue and Victory.
Which, yeah, because the only way he can get the relic off his back is to get, like, a really high-ranking one that could possibly remove it, and he has no money.
Yeah, you've been pickpocketed.
Yeah. And
The worst thing about the city is the pickpockets, not the assassins, the pickpockets.
yeah, and then Trollmaw got pickpocketed too, which is hilarious.
It's like, how do they do that? They're pretty good.
It's like, but your wallet is invisible, right? I guess I took pickpocket street too lightly. Yeah.
That. Oh yeah, and something about the that orphanage director, he became moved very fast.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, oh, hey, yeah, I guess he'll become later. And it's like, no, they don't even bring, we don't even see him again. So I'm just like, oh, dear.
It's like he got arrested off screen.
Yeah.
A, what was the point of bringing him in the first place?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, well, that was a little disappointing. Yeah, I think overall this chapter was kind of, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't amazing manga, but it still has a lot of promise, I think.
Yeah, it's still got a good beginning.
Yeah, and I like...
It's setting stuff up, you know, how pretty much Jake has to... Now, Jake's goal is to pretty much work with B&B and Trauma to find that heirloom that can nullify his heirloom.
Pretty much, yeah. So, yeah, with that... Yeah, with that, it is, yeah, it gives him a basic goal, and I'm sure we'll find out what the actual backstory to this all, you know, the actual main plot to this all is, but overall, I like the design style of
this series. Wait a minute, did you mention the bit about how Trauma was created?
Oh, that was during your section.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, it turns out he was created to be an ultimate assassin, basically. Someone that, you know, was not only invisible but undetectable, a undetectable dragon. But he's, you know, he doesn't have any other purpose. He decided he didn't want to be an assassin, so he becomes a good guy.
Yeah, well, apparently they hinted that he was the one that fought.
Yeah.
He's so-called hero.
Well, they didn't just hint it. They flat out said, hey, yeah.
Oh, they flat out said it.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell. Wow, yeah. They actually said it, and I still couldn't tell.
Yeah, I think
it's going to show how trustworthy I am of things.
Yeah, I thought overall, really, I just like the designs. I mean, Troma's dragon form looks like a typical dragon, Western dragon. We've got a goblin that looks like he's straight out of World of Warcraft. So it's kind of interesting, where a lot of times, you know, a lot of places or, you know, a lot of manga will go the, hey, these are fantasy creatures, but we're going our own unique design route. Well, with this one, it's like, no, we're just, you know, sticking to what they look like. That way people, when they read it, they know what they're looking at.
Yeah, and so, you know, oh, it's a goblin. That's supposed to be a goblin. That's not a goblin. That's a goblin.
Yeah.
That's not a goblin.
Exactly, yeah. I wonder if they're going to have orcs here and whether they'll go the Warcraft route or the these are pigmen route. Which I see that happen so many times in some fantasy manga where it's just like, okay, these are orcs, but they just flat out look like pigs, and they don't even look like orky pigs. They just look like pigs.
Well, like, pigs do eat anything, so that's what makes it terrifying.
Well, yeah, but they're not as badass like that, you know?
Yeah, well, something about the whole, about their goal that got established. I'm glad the goal got established, but if it ends up being established in like 15, 20 chapters,
yeah,
I am not going to be happy. Even if they introduce a new one, it's like, oh, you have another one. Like, you mentioned that earlier, you know?
Yeah.
The heck?
Pretty much.
You know, like how Naruto's goal was to be, you know, Hokage. And then, clearly, Kishimoto forgot about that, and then all of a sudden, everyone wants to be Hokage. Like,
that's
not how you do it.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a little early to get angry. Nothing's happened.
Actually, speaking of Naruto, what's the next chapter?
Yes, Naruto. All right, Naruto, chapter 666.
Make your joke.
The number of the beast.
Oh, that's boring.
Ah, shut up. That's what they should.
The devil!
Yeah, that's what he should have, you know, that's what he should have titled this chapter. Kishimoto, you failed us. But that being said, this is actually a pretty decent chapter overall.
Okay. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. There was no talking, you know. Well, there was talking, but there was no, I am just going to keep talking about what my plan is.
And you know how bad the world is. We have to change this and you know war is going to happen anyway, but what's the point? I'm going to stop this. Dude, the preaching. But yeah, this chapter, no preaching.
Yeah, this one was a lot better. It wasn't boring. And it had plenty of action. The flashbacks, I thought, worked well. Used some of the good old Naruto strategy, which we've...
Oh, yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh, wow. I see some strategy.
Yeah, I know. You remember when this series used to be good at that? Like, a decade ago?
A decade ago. Well, that's a long time ago.
Yes. Yes, it was. That's why I'm kind of pissed off.
That's actually when I first saw the anime.
Yeah. But I kind of... Yeah. I mean, Naruto used to be really good with, you know, strategies and ninja fighting and all that. But, yeah, this one was just like, hey, that actually works. You know, Kakashi uses his Kamui at the same time that Obito uses his to, you know, transport him into the alternate world. Mm-hmm. And that speeds it up so that Madara isn't able to hit Obito.
Mm-hmm.
So... It was clever.
There was that funny bit when they transferred Naruto and Sakura into the place, and then Sakura's like, "Wait, I was so caught up in being terrified of Madara, I forgot to breathe." I'm like, "You,
oh great! I hope you didn't forget to keep the guy that whose heart you're holding in your hand right now to keep breathing."
Like, why about the squid? Oh, crap.
And then, yeah, so Obito decides, like, hey, I'm going to give you this chakra. And I will... Apparently, I control the Black Zetsu without any trouble now. And looks like Naruto is good to go. And then turns out that Kakashi was saved by Gai. And, yeah, I like that. And I just like that ending. It was like, oh, hey, we need more Gai not being a complete spaz. Like that previous chapter where he was just like, oh, gosh, this isn't funny. But, yeah. Overall, yeah, I mean, I like this chapter. It was good. It didn't have those problems that Naruto has so much. And so many chapters in the past several months have just been talking about stuff that is unimportant and actually kind of stupid. And a lot of the things that happened were kind of stupid. This one was just a straightforward action chapter, and it was better for it.
So how many chapters of there were there of straight talking in a row?
I don't know. I didn't keep track.
Should probably do that next time.
Maybe, but it was. Yeah,
and then, well, and then maybe the listeners will actually believe you.
It's not worth it. All I know is that I haven't enjoyed an auto chapter in months, and this was the first time I actually enjoyed one. So, hooray!
Okay. All right. I enjoyed it.
Indeed. All right, Mo. Nisekoi, chapter 112.
Steps.
Indeed.
Although I prefer to call it don't steps, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so basically it reintroduces some character named Miyusuke, and I'm like, I've never seen this guy.
I think he was there during that one chapter where Mariko was trying to get a job, had a job at this diner, and... and you had the two gangs, and then the police show up, and I think he was the leader of the police at that time. But yeah, Marika's opening panel was second opening panel was perfect, where she's like, since I'm guessing 100% of our readers have forgotten who you are, allow me to present Miyusuke. And I was like, oh yes, you're right, we did forget. How very astute.
He's so minor, I don't remember him.
I know, which is why works so well.
And I remember the guy that keeps calling Raku Botan or something. I don't remember his name, though. I know it's Ryo. Wasn't it Ryo?
Who?
I forget. The Yakuza guy.
Oh, yeah, him. Oh, I forget.
He reminds me of Ryo without the pompadour hair.
Oh, that guy. A little bit.
Yeah, that guy.
Right, yeah, him. All right, well, anyway... So, what's he doing here?
Basically, he came
one second, down... One second. Actually, keep talking. I'll be right back.
Okay. He basically came to ask Marika for help in the love department, and Marika's all, oh, well, you came to the right person, except I know someone else who can help you. And then they go to Raku, and... She basically asks Raku to help to help Migusuke how to woo a woman. I don't know how or why, but everything about this chapter was just wrong. The advice was all wrong, but of course it was obvious why it was wrong. It's just also there was a funny bit where how Raku was like, "So how do you find me? Oh, I put the tracking device on you."
Yeah.
How? What?
Yeah, it's really hilarious how obviously conniving Marika is in this chapter. Except it turns out she's so bad at it. Oh no, she's not bad at it. She's actually really good, but she's so easily satisfied.
Yeah.
That it doesn't ever become the oh you're such a scumbag. It actually, remains to that's kind of adorable. And it's especially funny because Migusuke is actually, all his, his initial attempts are actually really good, and you're just like, yo, that would totally work. But then Marika, because she has a very bizarre, she has a very bizarre sense of what's right, of what she likes.
Yeah.
She completely gives him the wrong impression. And then it turns out that at the end, not only has he gotten the wrong impression, but the way he executes the wrong impression is even worse.
The last bit, it was like he stuck a ring. I'm like, that's not how you do it.
it was absolutely hilarious. Because it just starts off with him like, well, we find out that that Marika's bodyguard, Honda, is the girl that he has a crush on. And he's completely flustered. He grabs her head as he's bowing, forcing her head down, puts a ring on her hand, and asks her to marry him. And her reaction is just brilliant, because she's just staring at his, she's like, what the f-? And then just takes a running start and just decks him. It's great. It would actually, what would make this even better later on is if this is never really brought up again, but just randomly in the background, they've suddenly started dating. Like, it's not even mentioned, okay, wait, how did we go from her attacking him to suddenly they are dating? That would be kind of funny. Hmm. But, I also have to give Raku credit for with the whole where, she's like, you have to demonstrate how you propose to someone, and she's like, it needs to be something more dramatic. And he's just thinking, he's like, oh man, what am I gonna do here? And then he's like, a real man can express his love without speaking. And the way he does that is an absolutely perfect, smooth move. And I'm just like, this would work on any of the girls, not just Marika.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And the funny thing is that he didn't actually say what she wanted him to say, because I think that was definitely what she was trying to do.
Uh-huh.
And, the whole, and like the third step was like, oh, then you ask her to marry you. I'm like, no.
No, it's very clear that this is entirely for her own benefit.
Obviously, just like the parrot one.
Yeah, that parrot.
I was like, whoa. Wow.
Yeah, and I...
Thank goodness she's not evil.
Yeah, and at the end, it's like, it didn't go well. It's like, well, sometimes that happens. It's like,
that doesn't happen because she's...
No, that's awful.
This is supposed to be titled Dome, but I'm quite sure that was the idea.
Yeah, I love... Yeah, this chapter was great. It is nice that we get two chapters in a row without focusing on the character we don't like. So, I like. But I think part of the problem here is that it's really hard to focus on Onodera now without having Haru brought up, because she's kind of always there, and I'm just like, why did
there's two Onoderas, really, yeah, so,
I mean. But
I know.
But yeah, anyway, it is kind of like, great, my favorite character is related to my least favorite character. Crud. How am I gonna... It's like, anytime she does anything... Her sister's going to be there. Great. All right. Well, anyway, let's move on to One Piece Chapter 739, Captain.
Captain!
And, yeah, Tribble's attack with the ship goes over about as well as expected, except sadly it doesn't knock Sugar out, which I was kind of hoping for.
That'd be too
for.
Easy, though.
It would be too easy, but it would have been hilarious. Hmm. Yeah, and then there's kind of an odd transition where we go from it crashing into everything, everyone staring at it, to Robin finding Usopp, and it's sort of like, oh, wait, how much time has passed here? But then we find out that the Tontadas have been captured and they are easily interrogated.
Don't forget, Robin was she was using her clone, remember?
Yeah, she was. So she was wherever she was hiding somewhere in the building at the time. Yep. Or I guess maybe she went elsewhere, so because she clearly hasn't been hit by the boat. Mm. But yeah, it is pretty hilarious how the Tontadas are so easily tricked. It's like, there's someone else with you. Hey, let's hear some names. They will never tell. But he's my friend. What's his name again? You mean Usolan?
Come on!
Yeah, he's like, oh, come on! It's like, you idiot. He ain't my friend. It's like, oh, no, you twicked me. It's like, are you working with the one-legged soldier? I'll never say. But we already know it. Oh, in that case, there's no use hiding it. So it's true. Twicked again! And the funny thing is that last part is actually a legit interrogation, you know, method where you trick them into thinking you already know to get them to admit more, where they're sort of like, hey, we already know that you stole this and we know who your accomplices are. And, you know, and they're like, oh, well, I guess there's no point hiding it. I mean, you know, I don't know how often that actually works, but it's actually a legit technique. It just works so much more easily on these gullible little guys. And then, yeah, turns out that the stick is flammable, because of course. And I really don't like the way he calls it. It's like, it's stick. And I was like, that sounds too much like a euphemism.
I don't think that is flammable. I'm kind of terrified.
No, it isn't. I'm just saying the words stick sound like a euphemism of some kind.
It doesn't sound like it, but because you mentioned now, you make me think it is, and now I'm just...
Yep. And yeah, so it turns out Leo and the others are still okay. They're just, well, they're alive, but they're pretty badly hurt.
Yep.
And yeah, so we... They're like, oh, we have to, the captain will beat Doflamingo for us. We gotta hurry. Captain's waiting. And then we go to the captain, and he is getting beaten up while he flashbacks. And then he realizes where, you know, Rebecca is. He's trying to convince Rebecca not to enter the tournament because he's like, no, this is not a tournament that you can compete in. It's like, and she's all, you know, it's like, no, we have no choice because... You know, after everything that, you know, after how we've all lost, you know, our spirits have been broken thanks to Doflamingo. And then she says, like, oh, it's like, there's no way we can win 1,000 battles and be free. It's just a giant wall of despair, like that statue of Kuros, who won 3,000 battles. Everyone knows the statue is a complete lie. It's just an image of the ideal warrior the prisoners created while they were fated to die. And... Well, one of those prisoners must have been really good with stone.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to use my time to build this. And then it's like, oh, shouldn't you be fighting and resting for your fight?
And be like,
no, I will build this.
I don't know. That's what I'd do if I could. But yeah, it's a personification of their desire to be free. Nothing more. And yeah, and I do kind of like the line from Toy Soldier where he's like, you think that turning 16 made you into an adult, Rebecca? And I was kind of thinking, yeah, when I was 16, I didn't sure know I thought it, but now I look at it as like, man, I was an idiot.
When I was 16, I still didn't feel like an adult.
But yeah, here's the weird thing. I didn't realize she was that much younger than Luffy. You know? She's only a year older than Vivi was 2 years ago. So...
Oh, yeah. I thought Vivi was 16 then.
I think she was like, well, she's 16? She was probably 16. She was, actually, no, you know, you're right. She's the exact same age because Vivi was 16. Luffy was 17 at the time, and so was Usopp. Chopper was 15. That's where the connection is.
And, yeah.
And then you had Nami was, let's see, she was 18, and Zoro and Sanji were 19. And then Robin, randomly, 28, and suddenly I'm thinking, man.
Frankie's 34.
Yeah, but still, seeing that I'm really close to...
at least at the time of death.
Yeah, I'm really close to the age that Robin was when she was first introduced to the crew. And suddenly I'm like, oh, at the time I didn't think it was weird. It's like, oh, she's just the older character, the older sister character. Now suddenly I'm like, 28-year-old hanging out with a bunch of 19 to 16-year-olds is kind of fucking weird. You know? Where it's like, oh, geez.
And I feel depressed now.
And it really does kind of show exactly how much Robin trusts Luffy. When you consider the fact that I'm thinking, I was like, man, if a 17-year-old tried to say he's my captain, I'd beat his butt. Except if it were Luffy, I probably wouldn't be able to.
Wait till you're 33 or 34, and then you'll feel like Brooke or Frankie.
Yeah, I'll be like Frankie, the complete nutball. So she basically says, you're not my father and all that, and turns out that he's like, oh, you're correct. And she's like, oh, no. I was like, please, I don't want you to leave. And she tries to actually attack, and it turns out that doesn't work so well for her.
Where, the sword has no edge.
Yeah, and it is kind of funny where it's like, what's his...
Diamante.
Diamante, yeah. I was just... You know, it's like, I'm just going to call him Steve Tyler. But no. Diamante. Yeah, he has a bit of a weird scene where he's like... Tell me, Rebecca, do you know how your mother, Scarlet, died? And he's like, you should have seen that miserable toy soldier wailing and crying and carrying on. And I'm just like, okay. And then it's like, the toy soldier is like, I couldn't save your mother. But it's kind of like, okay, but nothing new is revealed. We already know she died like this. So that doesn't change anything, but...
Probably revealing that Diamante was going to kill her. Who knows?
Possibly, but it's not flat out said.
I know. It must have been.
And there's kind of like this whole question, and then Usopp is like, you know, what is it about the captain, Leo? Why do you have so much writing on him? And then we get the reveal of yet another one of those, it's a reveal, but it was kind of obvious, where we discover that the toy soldier was the greatest... go ahead.
Okay, basically, when Sugar turns people into toys and she puts them under a contract, but the thing was, Soul, the toy soldier, was the only one she failed to make a contract with. Right. So he was free to do what he wanted. And ever since that, that was her only mistake she made. And that's why all the toy soldiers are like really rallying behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, yeah, definitely. It is basically, he's the one mistake that Sugar made, and so he's their only hope. And they say, if we miss his cry to action, then there's no hope for the future of this country. He is worth placing all our hopes on. No one remembers him, but once ever we won, knew his name as a big person, he was known as Kiros. And he was the greatest gladiator in the history of the Colosseum. That's who our captain is. And I'm just thinking, well... Of course. Of course that's who he is, because, pretty early on, we're like, okay, yeah, let's see. This one guy, Ricky, probably either her father or her grandfather. It turns out, yep, grandfather. And then we're like, okay, so the toy soldier is the father. And we're like, oh, yeah, he's the father. And then we're kind of thinking, okay, who was he really? You know, what was his real identity? And we're like, oh, gee, is there possibly someone here that people have forgotten about?
For the record, I like this arc more than the Fishman Island arc.
Oh, yeah, definitely more. It's just a lot of the things that we, a lot
of... For you, it felt obvious. I didn't even catch this. I was like, I was just hoping Kiros would be just someone else. I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm okay.
That would have been weird. I mean, yeah, the whole turns out he's Kiros is pretty obvious. But not in a way where I'm like, oh, this is bad because it's so obvious. It's more just...
You're playing Kiros.
Yeah, it's like, obvious, but I mean...
she never knew about. Yeah. Like... I am Kiros, your uncle. Wait, what?
That would be hilarious, but not the way this works, unfortunately. Oh. But, yeah. I think one thing I want to mention is that I kind of like how we get some mini flashbacks in this chapter. We sort of get a little, mostly we kind of get a focus on Rebecca and Sol and Kyros right before they, you know, right before she enters the tournament, which doesn't really count as a proper flashback, but it's sort of a flashback in that it, you know, even though it's a lot closer to the action than a regular One Piece flashback is, I really like the way it has, the flashbacks have been working this chapter, where we get not just, you know, you don't just get one big flashback where it's like, here, we've set everything up, now see the flashback. No, it's more, have a bunch of smaller flashbacks, like, you know, part of a chapter or two chapters. You know, it's no 10 chapters and we've gotten this entire flashback. It's, so it works a lot better, I feel, because it doesn't interrupt the flow of the story. Because One Piece flashbacks are great, but a lot of times you have those, when you start them, you're like, oh, you're taking us out of the action. But then when you finish, you're like, oh, you're bringing us back into the action. And so it's like, you know, you have that moment where you're like, oh, and it just kind of interrupts the flow, and you kind of have a moment where you have to, where you're a little disappointed with the story, even though it's doing really well. Well, with this, it's a lot easier for us to be like, okay, here's the relevant information, now let's flash back to it. Okay, now back to the story, here's relevant information, now let's flash back to it. So I imagine next chapter will probably, maybe not next chapter or the chapter after that, but I see a flashback coming up for Kyros, which in previous arcs would have all been done in just, you know, one go, I feel, but I don't see how you could do it in one go with this. The way this story is being told works a lot better with the simple flashbacks.
Yeah, Oda's doing a lot of condensing with the dress rules, so there's so much happening that, you know, it just has to all be told, but it cannot all be told at the same time.
Exactly, yeah. And it also, I think it's
and this is what's killing the guy, so we gotta be appreciative here.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and I also really like how he is using his, how it's a very obvious evolution in his storytelling. I mean, his storytelling is excellent, but if there was one thing that I would say that needed work, it is the fact that the flashbacks always feel kind of jarring, and that it really kind of takes you out of the story. It doesn't flow as well as it would if, you know, if you had it sort of split up between the arc. So I really like this. Mm. Okay. All right. All You Need to Kill, Chapter 7.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Okay.
And hurry.
Yeah. Okay. So KG pretty much, okay, we go back to the current loop. KG was in 158. Yeah. He's killing the mimics, and his soldier buddies are like, whoa, is that KG? Holy crap, he's a badass. And I started just like telling them to rally behind him, and he's pretty much we know that he's changed within like, what, six chapters, changed from a rookie that died in like so quick a time and all that, to actually now able to hold his own.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He's become a badass.
Yeah.
And I do like how at one point he kind of says that, you know, he's kind of talking about Rita, how he's like, oh, I must have started feeling something for her because, you know, everyone gains hope when they see her, and maybe it's as if they all fall in love with her, and maybe I feel the same, but I can't love anyone right now after all the time we spent together would be lost once I looped again, which kind of explains why he turned down Rachel, or whatever her name is, because it's sort of like, okay, yeah, I mean, I guess if you wanted to do a one-time stand, that would work, but it looks like that's not what he's interested in, you know? If he's gonna be with someone, he wants to have an actual relationship kind of deal, which I was like, okay, that makes you better than Tom Hanks's character in Groundhog Day. And so, yeah, I like that part. That's the main thing that I kind of wanted to point out.
Oh, sorry. Mm. Anyways, so he kind of does that one thing Rita did to him in the very first chapter, where he sees a soldier like freaking trying to hyperventilate himself to death. And he's just like talking to him about something random. He's like, hey, remember that game of rugby we played? Yeah, it was fun, but you know, I don't want to talk about this, but hey, in the meantime, just take a deep breath. It's like, wait, what? But I think this soldier guy, he survived or lived or something.
Yeah, it does look like he survived.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then we, yeah, and then the final page, well, not the final, yeah, the final page, three pages, where you discover that Rita knows that he has been looping, suggesting that she too has been looping.
That explains why she's such a badass.
Yeah. It's very much, but at the same time, I was kind of thinking, oh, from the movie trailers, you kind of get that impression that that's what's going on. But still, it's like, if you don't think about it too much, you might be surprised. But yeah, you remember how last week I was saying, you know, the way it looks like with the arms, you know, when you see his arm outside of his armor, it makes it look like, you know, like where the arm of his suit goes is right in the middle of his forearm. And we see with Rachel, we see that confirmed.
Rita, sorry.
Stupid R names. Don't they know you don't have too many characters whose names begin with the same letter? That just gets confusing. But yeah, Rita.
I try to get through that problem, but it happens a lot.
It's bad writing for one. But anyway, turns out that when you look at the diagram of Rita inside the suit, you find out that where her elbow on the suit is pretty much exactly where her forearm is. So I'm just thinking, wait, how can they bend? You know, it's just like that. Nothing in that design suggests that there'd be any way for them to be able to bend like that with the way, or maybe it's meant to be, and this isn't entirely clear. Let me take a closer look. Okay, let's
see. It looks kind of weird. You're right.
Actually, I'm just double checking one thing. Let's see. So you got that part. And you've got the part right there. Okay, it might be that what it's supposed to be, and this doesn't really show it that well, is that where the elbow bends is where the wrist bends. Which that would work. That would make sense, you know, but it's not entirely clear, and that doesn't seem like what it is on the diagram there. But if that's how they do it, that would make sense. I just kind of think that they'd want to draw the arms and legs a little longer so that they bend where it makes sense, you know. But anyway, good chapter. I liked it. And that reveal at the end where like, oh.
Although he met that very first mimic that killed him.
Yes, and
he's like, I remember this guy, my first loop. I'm going to kill you now.
Yeah, slightly less dramatic than when Eren and Mikasa meet the Titan that ate their mom in Attack on Titan. But still, the
same thing. Because of Rita. He's like, hey, you there. Don't focus on the mimic. Focus on me.
Yes.
Now focus back on the mimic. No, don't focus on it. Focus back on the mimic. Can't do that old spice thing.
Yeah. Look at the mimic. He's like, look at the mimic. Look at me. Now back at the mimic. Now back at me. You are now nothing but a torso. Yeah. All right. It is time for us to talk about Toriko, chapter 268, where they prepare the billion bird, and the chefs prepare it, and it turns out that everyone is eating it and loving it because, you know what, it doesn't matter how it tastes. It's actual food. It's actual meat. And the way they describe it, you know, the way it's described by the narration really makes it sound all the more appealing.
Yeah.
We're just like the real meat juices that gushed inside one's mouth. And I'm kind of thinking, I don't know much poultry that has many gushing meat juices, but I get your point.
I don't want any more egg for the time being.
Pussy.
Got it.
But you kind of find out is like, you know, the feet, when they're dried and chopped, they can be a substitute for rice. And the talons can be used as a spice. And of course, the meat, which you can eat, and the feathers are like vegetables, and the blood, and this part, I was like, ew, it's like unclean. The blood serves as both marinade and soup, and I'm just like, ew.
Oh yeah, he doesn't like blood.
I don't like blood. Also, there is the joke that in the Judeo-Christian tradition, eating blood is a sin, so I'm just like, you know what? I think that one is one of those things where when Jesus came, he was all, oh, hey, yeah, that part you don't need to follow anymore. Even if that's the case, that is the one thing from the Old Testament I will always follow. Anyway,
it's
moving
like
on.
Vampires? No, keep them away from me.
Yeah, it's like, screw you, vampires. Yeah, you're gross. But yeah, anyway, let's see, where were we? Sorry.
Well, that's probably why you don't like Sarah at the end.
Well, they don't even do much. That doesn't even really come up that often, but still, it is nasty.
It has vampires.
Basically, you. Yeah, it's billion bird on noodles and medicinal poultry on vegetable saute.
They take
wait, where did you get those other bits?
And turn it into freaking every type of food that we can think of.
Pretty much, yeah. It is literally a. This is something they can all survive on. They can.
It's kind of funny because it's like the parent. The parents are still alive, but everyone, but you're like looking at like, they're eating the children. They're eating the children.
Yeah, the children of the bird. That's what happens. And yeah, it is kind of like, yeah, animals in Toriko kind of have a weird approach where they apparently, especially is enforced in this chapter, they see themselves as ingredients meant to be eaten by humans rather than living creatures that don't want to be eaten by humans. But yeah, and we discover that Komatsu is kind of basically says that, you know, it's, yeah, it's like Toriko saying, oh yeah, the food that they're creating is a lot better than the stuff that I sampled in Gourmet Casino and in the brain data, and is like, oh, I'm kind of impressed that they were able to cook it into something so pretty palatable. And then Komatsu is like, oh, I don't think that's true. It's like, I don't think that the billion bird was ever that bad tasting to begin with. And you discover that, you know, it's, he's like, you know, I think I might be the best food out there. And he just, you know, he's kind of thinking, you know, I guess the creatures of the past just couldn't understand your taste. And then he's kind of thinking, oh, you must have been so lonely, everyone, you know, all those hundreds of millions of years going extinct while no one noticed. And he's like, now everyone's calling you delicious. They're saying you're incredibly tasty. And he's like, I appreciate you. And apparently that is what it takes to make the billion bird evolve into its final form, where it lays eggs that do not hatch immediately, but they are eggs given in gratitude after being praised. And it turns out that these are a very peculiar kind of egg in that you can eat them raw and have them actually taste good. You know, it's like, it's less like an egg, but it's more like kind of like a pudding kind of thing, where it's like you've got the yolk is diffused throughout the entire egg. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, but it's also kind of funny. It's where it's like, I don't think I understand this whole idea of, oh, hey, I am... You praised me. You said I taste delicious. I am so happy. I'm like, in what situation would you ever say that to someone? He's like, I think you're delicious. He's like, thank you, Dr. Lecter. Please leave me alone. But
I want to make sure you evolve wings. Lecter, not a bird.
He's like, okay, in that case, don't you know, you just got to give me some Red Bull. You'll give me wings.
Let me give you some Red Bull. Yeah,
then it will then use that. I will then use that to escape from you, you freak. Yeah. Anyway, they eat the eggs, and it turns out that it does one of those hilarious, has an impact on their body. In this case, it causes the hairs on their body, except not their beards for some reason, to grow extremely. Their hair grows, their eyelashes grow, And Toriko's fingernails grow, I also notice.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and he notices that, oh, hey, this, you know, it's like feels completely clean and refreshed, like his entire body has been washed and every microscopic injury was repaired. And everyone else drinks their egg, which I guess, okay, if we think of it as eggnog, maybe that will make this easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then... I just love Sunny, where his eyelashes become these massive spears, but everyone grows this like longer hair, these big luscious locks. And these
when I saw Sunny's eyebrows, crazy, I was thinking David Bowie for some reason. I don't know why.
Actually, yeah, I totally buy it. Yeah, and then Toriko decides the billion bird egg will be my drink, and I'm like, I think you have a fundamental misunderstanding of what an egg how an egg is supposed to be eaten.
Yeah.
But no. But I guess again, think of it like very thick eggnog. Otherwise, I'm gonna be a little sick. But I did end up going. I did make myself some soft boiled eggs after this.
And then because he mentioned that the previous day before, I was like, I had a bad stomach. I felt really terrible from eating almost too many eggs. And he said, I'm making eggs. Like, no eggs. No.
Yeah. And then at the end, we get a three-panel gag where Rin comes in saying, like, trying. It's like she's gonna try to get Toriko to plan the wedding with her. And she sees everyone's like, "What's going on? You all look like girls."
And then we have a little bit of the last panel of Ichiryu.
Yeah,
he's
like, "What?" And I just love that. I can just imagine, like, after immediately after this, she's just kind of staring at Toriko in his girl-like looking form, and she's just staring at him blankly. And then suddenly she says, "Well, I guess I'm a lesbian now." Sorry, bad joke. But still, I kind of like that.
More like a woman. That's a terrifying part right there.
Yeah, I know. But I do kind of like at the end, you know, that bit at the end where it's, you know, it's not like Shimabukuro is just going to ignore it for the fact that she kind of proposed to him for chapters on end. It's actually something that is coming back. It's not a major focus, but it's not going to be ignored, which I was like, okay, good, good. I would have seen anyone else just ignoring this for a while.
Ishimoto.
Yeah, though I could kind of see him making this making the new joke rather than be, oh, she likes Toriko, but Toriko is slightly annoyed with her, or he doesn't notice her affections for him. You know, instead of that being the joke, having the joke being she's constantly trying to plan the wedding, but stuff keeps getting in the way. Important stuff like, you know, the saving the world and all that. And so,
yeah, let's get married before the series ends.
I would laugh and be a little annoyed at the same time if they stretched that out like that.
Yeah.
But still, it would be hilarious. All right. Do a quick, what did we think of Bleach this week? It was Bleach chapter, son of a bitch, where is it? 570.
It was decent.
Decent, yeah. I'm a little weirded out by Rukia's Bankai. I mean, I kind of like the fairy motif that it's going for, but at the same time, I'm thinking, what does it actually do? I mean, obviously, she has lots of ice now, but we don't know what it actually freaking does. I guess it turns her whole body into ice more than what Ishikai did.
Maybe.
I don't know. It was weird. But hey, look, we get to focus on some characters that, out of all the Soul Reapers, these guys are closer to the human characters than the other Soul Reapers because they barely get any focus, where we have Isane and,
Her name, Isane Kotetsu. I don't know why I put
Kotetsun?
I put Konetsu.
Oh, yeah, it's Isane. And yeah, Isane and, Yachiru. Pronounce that wrong, but yeah, they're healing what's his face, I forget, but I don't care. And then it turns out that one of the Sternritter finds them, and they try to fight him, but they keep forgetting about him, and that's his power. His existence completely disappears, and anything done to him will be done to them instead. And you see Yachiru gets damaged by the punch. So, yeah.
Yeah,
all right. Let's see. Yeah, you carry on, talk a little bit more, and then once you do that, start talking about World Trigger. I'll be right back.
All right. Well, it was an okay chapter, but you know, then when they moved on to Yachiru and Kotetsu, I was like, wait, what? That's a weird kind of segue with the very creepy looking Sternritter. Man, I don't know German well enough to say it, but yeah. It was a very, it was kind of jarring personally because, okay, it went from Ruki and Byakuya to suddenly Yachiru and Kotetsu. I'm guessing Kubo is going to try and go to some bit about Yachiru and maybe the past, or as he showed that she actually has developed her own power, developed some better powers, I guess. At least I hope that's what it's going to do, but yeah, I don't like this new Sternritter guy. He looks like a zombie.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's like a zombie.
He kind of looks like that, I don't know, like that one guy, but whose name I can't remember, but zombified. It's pretty weird.
Reminds me of a jockey. Right? he's like right here, like, oh, crap, a jockey appeared.
Yeah, she's like, her expression totally says, what's that thing poking my back?
Oh boy.
Yeah, let's hope Bleach doesn't go there, which I don't think it ever will, but.
Yeah. Oh, hentai.
Yeah,
will.
we need
no,
a.
No, no, I just gave my idea. No, no.
Quiet
stop.
You. Yeah, we need a. Okay, we need to carry on. Let's. Because we gotta. Gotta chop, chop. Chapter 50 of World Trigger. Where. Yeah, turns out that everyone's like, oh, what is this new, more powerful kind? And while. Yeah, Mikumo is going to have to go fight a Marmod while. dang it. There it is. Kitora fights the new kind. And Osamu, of course, has a hard enough time with this because it's kind of like, oh, Jesus, I wasn't able to defeat one of these at the beginning of the series, but he's been training. And I kind of like that gag with where Usami is like, oh, what training do you want? And she's like, oh, it was like crushing power and armor, Yashamaru Gold, or swift slashes, sharp body, Yashamaru Black. Popular with
Yashamaru,
the
now in 5 different colors, or your money back guaranteed.
Yep, it was like popular with
four.
Popular with the ladies, Yashamaru Honey Brown, and is like intrigued by Yashamaru Black, but doesn't realize their siblings separated at birth. Yashamaru Pink, and I'm like, what, the Sentai? I'm pretty sure that's what that gag is going for, but yeah, Osamu fights the Marmod, flashes back a bit more to his training, and then shows off his training, and he destroys it. And he does really well, and you're like, dude, that's cool. But then he goes back.
He points out the fact that the Marmot moves like Kazama than Midorikawa. You know, Midorikawa, yeah. The guy that tried to make him look dumb, and Kazama, the one who had to kick his butt.
Yeah, and so it's like it moves more like an animal. It's got set patterns that he's gotten used to. So that's why he can fight them. But, yeah, and then he goes to help Kitora, and then we end with a cliffhanger of, what's going on? I'm like, oh, you jerk.
Maybe she got eaten.
Maybe. We shall see.
Maybe.
We'll have to wait
Osamu
for next
to the
week.
Rescue.
Yeah. And we have to wait for next week, but that is it for the weekly Shonen Jump chapters. So. And we also have there's also at the end of this volume, there's a special on, you know, there's a feature on
World Trigger,
which I'm like, I don't know.
Border stuff. I'm like, yeah, I don't like the border enough to care.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem important enough, you know, because
it's just a recap of stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. But
like how One Piece loves a Dressrosa, but this is generally border.
Yeah, but anyway, we have some other manga to talk about, and starting off with no Beelzebub.
Oh!
All right, well, let's start off with...
We gotta stop crying about that.
Yeah, let's start off with Assassination Classroom.
Chapter 79, Roller Time, Second
yes.
Hour.
Yeah.
Okay, so the chairman... Basically, his main plan is really to have Takebayashi give him the permission to re-educate Class E.
Pretty much, yeah. He wants to use him to get everyone to think, oh, Class E is full of a bunch of reprobates. And, yeah, of course he's just like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. But then he's like, you know, everyone's like, okay, fine, I'll do it.
Stronger. I want to become stronger, but I still don't know if I want to do this. And then Koro-sensei, he meets up with him sometime afterwards. And like, as he does like a sort of visual cadence, it changes, looks like, we should look like this. I was like, that's not me.
Yeah, I was just like, what the crap? Yeah. Yeah, I really like, you know, he basically, you know, encourages him. And then when he gives the speech, Takebayashi gives the speech, he...
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. He basically doesn't give the speech that he was told, and he's like talking about, hey, Classy is awesome, basically. And you know what? I think the rest of you are all, you know, are all awful. And so
there are a few any whams and you're scared. Also, you look ugly. You look really ugly. All of you look really, really ugly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, seriously, they look really ugly.
Yeah, and then he's like, you know what? Is like, yeah, you know, you kind of have his confrontation with what's his face, but yeah, he pulls out the
Donald.
Yeah, he pulls out the plaque that the chairman has, and he's like, you know, it's, you know, yeah, he's just like, when did he take that? And he's like, oh, according to Asano-kun, in the past, another student who did something like this was, you know, sent back to Class E, and he's like, well, I guess it's for me as well, and. He has a, even though we haven't gotten much from him before, he has this really badass moment where it's like.
Student did that, I wonder.
Yeah, it's, Yeah, he's like, there's no saving you, is there? We went through all this trouble to give you a chance to become strong. And he says, strong, it looked like a group of people who were just scared, you and everyone else. And the chairman looks pretty furious. You're like, oh, jeez.
He's like, oh, you're making fun of me, kid?
Yeah, but still, dude looks so badass.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then it turns out that everyone's like, okay, we need someone to learn everything about explosives. And of course, he's like, that's his thing. I'm going to memorize it all.
Takabayashi is going to be Class E's demo man.
Pretty much. And I'm like, ooh, that's cool. All right. Let's see. What else do we have? Shokugeki.
No Soma, Chapter 59, The Respective Weapons.
Was it 59? Yes, indeed.
It's 59. This is where Soma gets to unveil his curry.
Which is basically, it's a curry omelet risotto.
Mm.
And it looks tasty. And they eat it, and they have the typical reactions.
Typical, my body was like, Hayama was like, oh, this is great, this is amazing. Someone's like, punch in the face.
Yeah, and then it turns out he mixes it with, like, mango chutney, and is like, ooh, ooh. And he mixes it with the rice, and is like, ooh, that sounds really good. And then we also have a part where, what's her face?
Irina,
yeah, that was. Yeah, where she, like, hears them mention something about Soma's father. And she's like, father? And I'm just kind of thinking, oh, it'll be kind of interesting. The kind of teasing at it, and I can't wait for her to find out who his dad is.
Because that's probably the gag. It's like, oh, his father. Who's his father?
He's like, oh, geez. He's like, wait,
but yeah.
The person that I admire so much, that's your dad? Is like, oh, crap.
But yeah, the part where Ishiki points out that, oh, look, he's using that omelet that nearly made him fail. Exam or test or whatever, and the risotto that lost to his father's together. And I was like, oh, wow, that's...
And he combined them into something that allows him to tie for first place.
And then he points out that, Soma, you are such a sore loser.
Yeah, and like everyone...
I'm going to make these two and make sure I win for sure. Yeah. Like,
it turns out that Hayama actually is first place, Soma is second place, but... It causes a huge argument between the judges, where some of them give him give him a higher score, like give him 19 points, and then some of them only give him 18, and they're all just like, oh, what the crap? He's like, what's wrong with you? Why would you only give him that much?
You minor character, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the best line ever. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was really pretty hilarious the way they're just like, you know, they're just going, yeah, just you have all these different groups that are like fighting between Soma and Hayama's food. It was pretty entertaining. But yeah, Hayama ends up being first place, but Soma still beats out everyone else.
Yeah, they were practically discussing like if this is like one of the judges actually scored higher for Soma than Hayama was like, this is a tournament about curry. We're not judging about, you know, about artistic, we're judging about curry, how it really impacts you. And the other guy's like, hey, this one's really good, it really, you know, like, I'm like, man, that's actually how competition is probably like, I bet.
Probably, yeah. I thought that was a lot of fun. And, yeah, it was a good chapter overall. And that's the end of the competition.
Chapter. Oh, yes. Yeah, that was the bit with the very handsome big guy appears. I'm like, wait, who's this guy?
Oh, yeah, and we don't even see what the deal with him is, and I'm just like,
And then he knocks Iwasaki and Marui right out of their rankings. I'm like, what?
Why don't we get to see him, but probably because he's meant to be a surprise. And
he's probably working for Aizen, because there was a two-panel with Aizen, and he's like...
I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, either way, great chapter. And, yeah, so...
It was a great chapter. I loved it.
Indeed.
I wish it was in the actual Weekly Shonen Jump digital.
Which does, yeah, it, especially now it doesn't make any sense anymore. I was like, dude, have you read the most recent chapters? This is hardly racy.
Actually, there was that one chapter with, you know, there was a few chapters previously with the, you know, the one.
Yeah, but recently it's not been the case. So, all right. It's time for us to move on to the next part of our commentary with Fairy Tail, chapters 373.
Kill or let live.
Yeah. And so it turns out that Xerath is kind of a, oh, hey, we'll see who, you know, we'll see whether you or the end come to me first. And he's like, I hope I will see you again. And then they're always like, oh, hey, we'll go through the hole to reach you know, to reach Lisanna and Mira and all them. And then, yeah, we got a, I like this part where what's-her-face, Kyoka captures Urza and starts fighting her. It's like, oh, this one has found affection for you.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Lisanna finds Mira Jane. And, yeah, you know, I have to say it's really weird where Lisanna's design seems to be so inconsistent.
Mm.
Where sometimes she looks more like Lucy and sometimes she looks more like Levi, and you're just like, okay then, make up your mind, but whatever. But yeah, Mira's free easily, and they, you know, they discover that Elfman is actually free because what's-her-face did not take him. She used him to destroy the guild, but it's like, yeah, it didn't, you know, not one wizard was killed, and she's like, it's like, I was humiliated before Kyoka-sama, and that man was to blame. And I love this page where she's just like, my tail isn't unraveling. I will assuage my enmity by taking his elder sister's life. And then you get to see serial killer Mira's expression. It's like, you did that to a member of my family, is that right? And I'm just like, oh, geez. That's terrifying. But yeah. And then turns out that Lucy and
Wendy
discover that, give me a chance, that Face will go off in 41 minutes. So, countdown of the final variety.
They face off against some
skeleton-looking
guy. Face off.
I like
face,
that.
Where face, like, face off.
Yeah, they're just like, a skeleton? It's like, it has to be a mask. It has to be. That was fun. But yeah, good chapter. I enjoyed this a lot more. Like, I mean, a lot of fairy times with fairy tale, I'll be like, oh, I don't know if I really enjoyed this because it was kind of weird. But this one was just straight up good. I enjoyed it.
Jesse, does that one panel where Zerv just made that like evilish looking face? I'm like, I think that actually made more of an impact on the fangirls than it should have impact, like, you know, in like a terrifying sense of like a head. Like, no.
Yeah. Pretty much. Alright, last chapter for us to talk about, the Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 68, Overwhelming Gap in Fighting Strength.
Mm.
Where it turns out that we have Gwila and
Hauser.
That's it. They are fighting against the other knights, and, you know, they're like, ah, oh, we don't have a chance. Not. <I'm> like, what? And he uses his tornado, compresses it so that it, you know, keeps them trapped, and then has Gwila pour her explosives into there. And it actually does a really good job. They're like, just keep firing until your magic's exhausted. It's like the only chance that we have. And then we have Gowther, who is being attacked by these other knights who are like, oh, our duty is to kill you. And then they don't care about this innocent side, bystanders. But then some strange man with a giant sword. Whacks one of them, and you discover that, oh, hey, that sword looks familiar.
And then he puts his mask on, like, hey, that dude!
Yeah, it's like makeup. It's like, you look at him and you're like, I know who this is because of that sword, but he looks a lot different than I thought he would look. He actually looks not disfigured. And then he puts his mask on, and that is such a freaking badass mask. Mm-hmm. He's just like, turns out it's Slater, who was on his day off, he's like, well, so much for my day off. And then he knocks out those other knights, and he's fighting with Gowther. And I'm just like, this guy is awesome. Because, like, already we know he's not 100% on the side of evil, but he is kind of, you know, he's still against the Seven Deadly Sins, but in a way that you could see kind of like the honorable opponent kind of deal. And so, yeah, I really like this. This was a really great chapter. We'll probably find out that Gwila and Hauser's attack was pointless, but at the same time, it definitely felt a lot more like, you know, these guys, you know, they may have a chance, but we're probably going to discover that no chance for them. So they'll have to find some way. But definitely interesting to see what will happen to them after this, whether they die or if they become allies of the Seven Deadly Sins, fighting against the kingdom that is clearly in the hand of corrupt people. And so,
yeah, if someone actually dies, then we'll definitely know that the tone of Seven Deadly Sins is, well, you have characters that have died, even though they were minor, but some of them were supposed to be one of the main characters.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, we'll see what happens there. And, yeah, this was just a really good... This series has been doing really well the past couple chapters. I mean, it's been really good overall, but it's been you know, it's been skyrocketing a lot for me recently, especially with all these characters that were, it managed to do something that took One Piece a decade to do, where when Oda started bringing back all these other characters during the during the Whitebeard War. Well, this one is able to do it and have a similar impact within just, you know, like 50-ish chapters, which I thought was really interesting, where it's like, you know, normally it'd be like, oh, hey, this guy was just introduced like 5 chapters ago, 10 chapters ago or whatever. And then suddenly we're like, or 8 chapters ago, whatever it was, but suddenly he shows up again and we're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing! He's back! He wasn't gone for very long, but he's back! Kind of deal. So I thought this was great. And
yep,
and I think that's all the chapters we have to discuss, don't we?
Wait, how did Galder get separate? How did Galder separate from Milidas and Bond, or did he just go on his own?
No, he ended up splitting up because he was going to go see if he could help Diane.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, yeah.
I was confused. I was like, wait, why is he by himself?
Yeah, but there is a reason for it. But all right. I think that wraps it up for the chapters that we've discussed. Let's go ahead and wrap things up, shall we?
Sure.
This has been Manga Cubed, episode 87? 87. I think it's been 87, right?
87.
Yes. Jeez. This is what happens when we wait to do the wrap-up. Yeah, so this week...
You don't need to know that.
I'm nothing if not transparent. So this week we went over Fairy Tail Volume 35, the latest volume of Fairy Tail. We also discussed the latest chapters for Shueisha and Kodansha. And, yeah, it was a good week. Overall, we enjoyed ourselves quite greatly.
Too greatly, the sun nearly killed me.
Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with manga, but okay. All right, let's go ahead and do the author comments, because we need to wrap stuff up, yo.
Well, yes, we do.
All right, starting with the author comments, we have Stealth Symphony's Ryogo Narita. I'm really interested in what will happen each week in the one panel gag manga that's on the table of contents in the Japanese Weekly Shonen Jump.
What? So wait, where's the other guy that commented before? He did say that he nearly died trying to do the first chapter.
Yeah,
I think he's just taking a break.
Yeah.
Okay. Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. For the first time in a long, long while, I jumped rope. I used to be really good, and I was happy to see that I still got it.
Okay. Alright, Nisako is Naoshikomi. Lately, I'm able to drink coffee again. I need to be careful not to drink too much again.
Yeah, caffeine is not good on me.
Yeah, it's...
It's not.
Yeah, too much is definitely a bad idea.
Even a little... some people can't even handle a small amount. That's my case now. Anyways.
Well, yeah.
One Piece is 8 years old. The new sugar rusk flavor Umayable is so good. It doesn't have the hole in it, but it's still delicious. Wait, what hole?
I have no idea what this is.
I don't.
All right.
It's sort of a Japanese snack.
Yes. Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. Lately my eyes are so tired I can barely see. Sometimes I'm inking and I can't see the page I'm working on.
Time for some new glasses. I'm kidding. You need to rest yourself. Maybe he's a computer, because I look on, there's this thing called computer fatigue. Believe it or not, it's called computer fatigue, where you stare at the computer for too long and your eyes start feeling tired.
I don't think that's what he has.
Probably.
He's inking. Unless he uses Photoshop, which I don't think that many artists in Japan do, that's probably not what's going on.
Yeah, he doesn't like he uses, and he just draws, and then it just, he refines it using the program, but yeah.
Right, well, Bleach's, Tite Kubo, it seems to snow every time I have the day off, so I'm not able to get out. This can't be a coincidence. Oh dear.
Dude can't catch me. He's like, dude, my manga's gonna end. At least give me a chance to go have some fun. Mm-hmm. No, stay inside.
Yeah. All right. Now, last one.
World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. I just had the worst birthday of my life. Passed out with the flu. I wish my body was a machine. I wish my body was a machine too. Sometimes I wish I wasn't human.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Or, I I have no comment there.
Or a cyborg. A cyborg.
All right. Let's see. All right, it's time for the rankings. What do we have? Rankings. Fourth place. What do you got, Mo?
Stealth Symphony.
Okay. How come?
I liked it because, you know, it the second chapter, it's actually setting up some things that's going to be pretty cool later on, like how, Jake's going to be going through the whole, oh, I'm going to be working job and stuff, meeting, working with other people, that kind of thing. And same, it's also set his, like, it set the story's kind of goal to where it needs to go right now.
Right.
Instead of, like, stringing us along like some other series.
Right. All right. My fourth place is Toracle, just because I just really liked it. It was a good chapter. Good stuff. I just kind of like the whole overall little self-contained story and the payoff with how they basically, the hair on their body essentially grows and makes them look more feminine is kind of amusing.
Oh, yeah, right. Estrogen. So much estrogen. Yeah.
I guess that's what it was. I don't know. But, yep. All right, third place. What have we got for our number
three? Well, in my case, I liked it a bit more than you. It's third place for me. Okay. Because, like I said, some of what you said, but with the chapter itself, explain the billing bird and how it worked and the last bit at the end because of this.
Yeah, my third place was World Trigger, just because I really liked the payoff of seeing Osamu actually defeat an enemy that he wasn't able to beat before. So it really shows good progress, but not in a ridiculous way.
Okay.
Yep. All right, number twos. What's your number two?
Nisekoi.
Yeah, that's my number two as well. Okay. It's just really, really funny and... Well,
If you understand Marika, then you can understand that she's meant to be like this, and you can actually laugh at it. You don't understand, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's...
Give a few more Marika chapters, and you'll probably understand her.
Yeah, and of course the ending was great. Just the reaction was perfect.
One of mine, I mean.
Yep, and all right, number one. What have we got for number one?
It starts with an O and ends with an E.
It's One to the Piece, or whatever. Yeah, One Piece.
Ten Piece! I mean, One Piece, sorry.
Yes, it was One Piece. Indeed, I quite liked this chapter, mostly because, well, I don't know, we had that big reveal, but at the same time, I like it whenever I can call it because I feel smart.
You've been calling it too much. I hope the next arc you don't call as much.
I don't know, if Oda steps up his game and becomes less predictable with the stuff that he sets up, then yeah, maybe I won't. But then again, of course, there's a bunch of stuff that I couldn't call because there were literally no hints towards it at all. So those, I'm just, well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that wraps this up, does it not?
Yeah. I need to say why I like One Piece.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, like I said, the reveal of who Soul was and the Tontata, I guess they finally grew on me with the whole being gullible. I know how it feels to be gullible.
They're your spirit animals.
No, I don't want them as my spirit animals.
Yeah.
I don't like their speech. Like, you had to say that word. I mean, no. I'm not saying the world.
World.
No, world. Plus you're so gullible.
Yeah.
Like, where did he go? He went that way. Oh, good. Ow.
Like, you jerks. No. No, what the hell, man? You hate the Tontatas, you bastard.
I don't hate them. They would get me killed.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about wraps us up. And yeah, so that does it for this week's episode. By the time you listen to this, hopefully you'll actually have a chance to listen to it soon because we had a little issue with our iTunes feed, so that got fixed this week, hopefully. So I'm working on that right now, and hopefully we'll have this episode up not too long after this week passes. But as usual, questions, comments, go to burninglizardstudios.com and leave a question on the episode, or go to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com, or go on Twitter @burninglizard is where you can find me. And if you have any questions, comments, just let us know, and we will read them on the air. In the meanwhile, we're wrapping things up here, and just remember, the manga is always better.
Yes.
We'll see you all next week.
Yes.